We're all tempted by things, right? Looks good, sounds good, feels good. Well, our guy Joseph that we've been talking about, he's had a rough couple first weeks as we've talked about him, if we're honest, if we're looking back, and we'll recap it in a second. But today, he's going to come across temptation. So he's going to come across temptation. It's been tough. So let's recap the first 2 weeks real quick before we dive into the temptation part. Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. As we've heard, he was given that fancy robe. His brothers were angry and jealous about it. Then he was given those dreams by God where they came in pairs, his dreams, and they both led to some type of Joseph will have authority over his family. So we had that. Now his brothers are even more mad, so much so that last week they heard they plotted to kill him. Now thankfully they didn't go ahead with it. They did, however, grab him, throw him in an empty cistern in the pit. Then they sold him to some traders that were on the way to Egypt. And at last, the end of last week, we did hear that he was sold to a man named Potiphar. So he was actually sold two times. So now he's going to be in Potiphar's house, and at one point he's going to face this temptation. And similar to last week, he doesn't really do anything wrong, right? But he's in a tempting and very difficult situation. But thankfully, God is always with him in that temptation, and he knows that. So I want us to kind of think about this in regards to a temptation today. You can be in the wrong place at the wrong time, but still have the right God right there with you. So you can be in the wrong place, wrong time, but still have that right God, our God, right there with us as we deal with temptation. That's going to happen with Joseph today. He'll be tempted through no fault of his own, but God will be with him. So we're going to read this story. It's in Genesis 39. It's bookmarked on the Bibles, on your tables. Ryan will have it up here on the screen if you want to follow along, and whatever you have, I will read in the NIV translation per usual. So here is Genesis 39, verses 1 through the first half of verse 6. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all of that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate." So again, we heard at the end of last week he was sold to Potiphar. Potiphar's a military guy. He basically amounted to being like chief of the bodyguards or head of the bodyguards. Some say the name kind of meant chief butcher a little bit. But he had this status within the community. He was a big deal. And we're told right away, though, the Lord was with Joseph, so he prospered. Joseph continued to have a relationship with God, stayed devoted to God in the midst of everything going on. So things are going well for him, and Potiphar sees this. All through Joseph, Potiphar sees it so much, he puts Joseph in charge of his household. We have this promotion, in essence, that Joseph gets. He was bought like a slave, but now he is in charge of this house. And it's going well, so Potiphar's house is prospering and being blessed because of Joseph. If we remember back to Abraham, God told Abraham back earlier, all people on earth will be blessed through you. It's happening again through Joseph. Abraham and Joseph are in that same family line. So it's continuing. Potiphar's house is being blessed by God through Joseph. Joseph was the vehicle of blessing. It was the way that the blessing got to Potiphar. Earlier this week at home, we were just talking about foods that are tempting. Let's talk about food some more. We had burritos for dinner. They were burritos. So we had steak, and there was tomato, and there was some avocado, and some sauce, and all this kind of stuff, right? That's the filling of the burrito, right? But you got to get that filling to the mouth, right? And you got ways to do it. You got to pick a different vehicle. I went with tortilla, right? You could do it on some crispy lettuce for a salad. Do it on a rice if you want to go with a rice bowl. All of those are vehicles to get the delicious filling to you, to take it in. It's a vehicle for it. We get to be a vehicle, not so much of burrito filling, but we get to be a vehicle of God's blessings to others. So we get to take the blessing to other people. And to be a vehicle of God's blessing, the first thing we have to do is see the blessings in our own lives, see how we are blessed, right? It's like you got to see the filling of the taco first. Last week we talked about how being down in the pit may have been a time we had to look at the difficult things going on in life. But this piece, we're going to flip it a little bit. Look to find all the blessings in your life and let that lift your spirits if need be. I oversee a number of different pastors kind of in an area, and one of them, when I scroll through and I see him on Facebook, he's this older guy, but he starts every one of his sermons, he gets behind his pulpit and says, "Did you count your blessings this week? Did you count your blessings? Shame on you, you didn't count your blessings. Did you count your blessings?" It's really, he starts every one that way. Did you count your blessings? You know, the ways that God shows divine favor or the assurance of God's grace in your life. God's taking care of us and holding us up. Joseph ended up safe. He wasn't killed when he initially was going to be. He wasn't sold to someone harsher than Potiphar. God blessed Joseph even in his difficult situation. So look at how and where God has blessed you this week. I want you to actually take some time this week. And whether you actually count them or write them down or whatever, notice the blessings in your life. Don't take them for granted. Take them in with thanksgiving and praise to God. And then we get to go be a blessing. In order for us to be a blessing, we have to see our own blessings and then be willing to pass them on. Don't hoard them. Be willing to be a blessing. In the book, The Common Rule, it's written, we ruin the goodness of blessings when we refuse to use them to bless someone else. Bless others through your own blessing. And it's easy, I think, when we think about blessing somebody else to go to the material or the servant, I'm going to give them this or do this for them. And those are 100% great ways. If you need to provide food or money or go sit with someone, that is great. Those are fantastic ways to be a vehicle of blessing. But that's not what we get necessarily from Joseph. He didn't have anything to give. He was bought and sold like a slave. He had everything taken from him. But yet, Potiphar, who had a lot, was blessed by Joseph and through Joseph. Why? Joseph stayed connected with God. He did whatever was given him right in front of him to do. If we just stay connected with God and to God, that can be enough to bless others. If you are connected with God, you are filled with the peace of God. You have the patience that comes from a relationship with God. You're aware of his grace. You can be the vehicle that brings the blessing of God's peace to someone else. We learn in Galatians 5 that peace is a fruit of the Spirit. The more we are connected to the tree that is Jesus, peace is produced. You know somebody in your life that could really use some peace? Be a vehicle of God's peace to them. Or how about your own patience with someone as they navigate life, they navigate a situation, or maybe they navigate a mistake? You can be a blessing to someone else just by being connected with God and having those fruits of the Spirit come out in your life. Patience and peace can absolutely bless others. Joseph also just really, if you think about it, he did what was in front of him. He just did what was right there. He was given responsibility in Potiphar's house, and he just did it to the best of his ability. He just worked hard. Do well with what's in front of you, whether it's at work or at home. If you're at work, maybe you love your job. Maybe you really don't love your job. Maybe it's kind of in the middle. It's a means of finance and support, whatever it is. If you are working, your job is right there in front of you. Be a good coworker. Work hard. Do well in a way that you can bless those around you at work. And it's not all that complicated. Or at home, be a blessing to your families or your roommates or whoever you have at home. Being a good child, a good parent, a good spouse, a good sibling is absolutely a blessing. Don't sleep on that one because it matters. Be a blessing at home because at home is right in front of you. So let God bless others through you. That's what happened with Joseph. So we kind of seem like the start of today, everything's going pretty well for Joseph, right? He's getting these promotions. Wouldn't be a fun story if we didn't go the other way. So let's look at Genesis 39, the second half of verse 6 through 18. It says this, "Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?' And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One night he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the story. "That Hebrew slave you brought us came to make sport of me, but as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." So now we learn, not only does Joseph have God with him, and he does well at his job, Joseph's a pretty good-looking fella. He's a good-looking dude, and he catches the eye of Potiphar's wife, his master's wife. And the narrative here doesn't beat around the bush, gets right to it. Potiphar's wife says, "Come to bed with me." Joseph handles it really well. He says, "My master, your husband, he trusts me. He's given me everything in this house to oversee and care for. Nobody other than Potiphar was greater than Joseph." He says, "You're his wife. I can't sleep with you. That would be a sin against God. It would be wicked. It would be wrong." So Joseph rebuffs her advance. And she persists. It says, day after day after day, he keeps refusing. Finally, one day, everybody else is out of the house. We're not sure why. Joseph comes in just to do his work again. Potiphar once again comes onto him, this time grabs him by the cloak to push the issue. And this time he runs away. He runs out, but the coat's left behind. Think about the coat for a second. It was a coat that led to a lot of the jealousy and anger from his brothers. Now it's a coat left in the hand of Potiphar's wife. It's going to be another downfall. It's led to jealousy and anger from his brothers. Now a coat in the hands of Potiphar's wife, and she's angry. Calls all the servants in with Joseph's coat in hand, says, "Look, this Hebrew has been brought to make sport of us. He tried to sleep with me," she's saying, "he tried to rape me, but I screamed and he ran." And she refers to Joseph as Hebrew. Egyptians and Hebrews in general didn't get along. So this is a word evoking disdain from Potiphar's wife. And she brings all the servants in. She says, "To make sport of us. By doing this to Potiphar's wife, he'd be doing it to all of them." We don't know what the other house attendants thought about Joseph, but if we think about it, he's moved up the ranks. He probably oversees them. There may be some jealousy towards him from them, similar to his brothers. Joseph got repeatedly tempted by Potiphar's wife, and now she's falsely accusing him of something he didn't do. He did everything right, but it really went wrong for him. You do something right, and it seems like it goes wrong. It's getting nice outside, right? So maybe we're going to go sit outside. We redid our deck last summer, so we're going to sit outside on our deck a lot. So imagine you go, and you want a really nice deck chair to sit outside in. Right? So you go, you pick out the perfect one. It's nice and cushy. You got some cup holders, armrests. If you're like me and you need to block the sun, you get a little that head thing up there, and you put it together perfectly. You meticulously lay out every single piece, just like that. You go right in order. You actually follow the instructions. There's no pieces left over, like sometimes there are. You admire it. You step back. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And you sit in it, and it just crumbles. Everything's everywhere. What went wrong? Maybe nothing that you did. You might have done everything right. Something you didn't cause made it go wrong. Joseph did everything right, it seems, from the story. Yet temptation was still right there to make things go wrong. And it had a lot to do with temptation, even though he didn't give in to the temptation. See, temptation comes when we may not see it or expect the source of it. It even tends to come on really strongly when we're following God well, just like Joseph. Temptation wants to drive us to sin and then weaken or cut off our connection with God. Thankfully, we have help when temptations arrive. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. When you're tempted, he'll provide a way out so that you can endure it." Joseph had the wisdom and the strength to say no. He then had the sense to get out of the situation. He ran in the later one. God provided Joseph with both of those actions, and we can learn from both. The first one being strong in temptation. Joseph had what we would call a strong fear of the Lord, and it gave him strength in temptation. He knew that the sin that might have been committed was against God. Psalm 51:4 says, "Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." So having a healthy fear of the Lord means to want to avoid sinning against God, just to hold to God. Hold to God, hold to truth, hold to his mercy, hold to his justice, stronger than anything else. Hold to God harder than the desire or feelings you have to give in to that temptation or sin. Hold to God harder than the pressure you feel to sin. hold to God, wanting to live according to his truth, not out of fear of retribution or judgment, but out of love for the grace and forgiveness that God has given and the freedom we have to live in God. Hold to that. That's that healthy fear of the Lord, that God just matters more. So a healthy and strong fear of the Lord is one way to combat temptation really well. So be firm in that. And there will be times that standing firm actually means walking away, or in Joseph's case, fleeing or running away. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, "Flee the evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Paul's writing this to Timothy. He says, flee the evil desires. So if you are tempted with something that's desirable to you, but you know it's wrong, get out of the situation. There's a temptation pulling you in, right? You're like the fish on the line that took the bait and they're reeling you in really strong. Don't wait around, get out. Because if you flirt with temptation, you'll fall to that temptation. But if you flee the temptation, we find the freedom in Christ. If you give temptation an inch, it will take more than a mile. And sometimes that means removing yourself from a situation, and that is not being cowardly or weak by walking away. It's putting God first and following him, because he leads away from sin. So walking away with God might be the biggest show of strength you can make in temptation. You will be tempted in a variety of ways. It'll look different to all of us. You might be able to just stand strong in that fear of the Lord and combat temptation. There might be times where you're going to flee, you're going to walk away, you're going to get out quickly and follow God away. Both of those are great. Both of those actions honor God. He will look down at us approvingly and lovingly for following him and not giving in. Others may not look so approvingly or lovingly at that. We can't control or predict other people's responses, right? You may end up with the equivalent of Potiphar's wife standing there, cloak in hand, spewing lies and anger. Maybe not the same level, but that's the idea. It's not right, it's not okay, it's not fair, but it happens. It happened to Joseph, even though God would love how Joseph handled the temptation. Joseph got beaten down by human standards here by Potiphar's wife. And it's going to get worse in a second. But thankfully, God was always with him. Let's read the last part of today, Genesis 39, 19 to 23. It says, "When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, 'This is how your slave treated me.' He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. While Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those in prison, and he made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did." So Potiphar hears what's happened, and he has kind of a natural husband response to this. He burns with anger. He's mad. So he throws Joseph in prison, in the place where all the king's prisoners are kept. And he doesn't go full-blown revenge mode and have him killed. We don't know exactly what the Egyptian legal penalty would have been for either attempted rape or rape, but here's the deal. Potiphar, high status, head bodyguard, not out of the question to think he would have gone total revenge. But he just throws him in prison. He doesn't do anything worse. Maybe there's a piece of him that remembers all Joseph did. But Potiphar has to respond, and he does by throwing him in prison. Joseph has been thrown in a pit by his brothers because of jealousy. He's now thrown into prison because of the anger of Potiphar's wife. But through it all, the Lord is with Joseph. Joseph has favor now in the eyes of the prison warden. The warden put Joseph in charge of prisoners. We're going to hear more about what comes of that next week. God kept giving Joseph favor in everything, and he was with Joseph in everything. Think about something you always kind of have with you, even when you're just out, right? I started going out for runs again. One thing I always have is I wear a watch when I run. It's a GPS watch, mostly to track distance and pace per mile. But it also tracks my route. So if I ever go out and I take some wrong turns, I have no idea where I was or what I was doing, there's a map of where I was. That was one from this week. It always tracks with me and can lead me wherever I've been. It's kind of what God does with us. He's like that GPS watch that tracks with us and always leads us and guides us back to him where we came from, because God's always with us. We saw how God was with Joseph when he arrived at Potiphar's house. Now he's in prison, and God does it again through the warden finding favor in Joseph. So we have to have courage and be brave to remember that God is with us wherever we go. Now, a fancy word we might use here is omnipresent, basically just meaning God is everywhere. And that includes where we go. But we have to think, do we really carry ourselves that way? Do we really carry the heart of God with us, carry his presence with us wherever we go? Or do we get caught up thinking, yeah, this is really bad. There's no way God is with me now. But by thinking that God has walked away from us, we're actually starting to walk away from God because God never leaves. Joseph would have every human reason to think God abandoned him. Right? He started out great. He got this robe and these dreams and gets tossed in a pit and sold and then sold again. Maybe they start to get a little better at Potiphar's house. Then we have Potiphar's wife happen. Now he gets thrown in prison. Like, Joseph's life was the roller coaster, like, main attraction at a theme park of ups and downs. It was all over the place. But he always held to the fact that God was with him. He never even got bitter. Ever get bitter with God? Something didn't go right, and you kind of you put it on God, and it's like, yeah, this bad taste in your mouth, right? Makes you not want to follow him again or hold to him again, right? But that bitterness causes us to miss the sweetness of God's favor. Don't let your own bitterness take you away from the sweetness of God's presence and favor. And don't let your current context confine what God can do. God is with you in whatever spot you're in. Even if you feel like your hands are tied where you are, God's hands are never tied. God raised Joseph up and showed him favor within prison, within the nasty accusations leveled against him. That was a dark context, but God brought light. All because God was always with Joseph, and Joseph believed that. Believe that God is always with us. Not in just an abstract, yeah, he's looking over me, I guess, kind of way. But in a personal, near, guiding way in which he will show you favor. Being willing to hold to God being with you, see his favor and his love, no matter how big or small that show of favor or love may be. We could look at Joseph's story and think, oh man, if God was really going to show Joseph favor, he would have just gotten him out of prison. Right? So maybe he wasn't really giving him that much favor. But Joseph didn't see it that way. He knew it was God with him. God's presence and favor is on you. Take it in and see it. He's always there. We always have the right God right there. We'll wrap up with this. Remember, we're blessed by God. Count your blessings this week. Really do it. And then be a vehicle of that blessing. Don't keep your blessings to yourself. Bless some around you, whether it's material or through your own connection with God, an offering of peace or patience or grace, but bless somebody else. And be aware of temptation. It will come. And God is with us in temptation. Stand against it in the healthy fear of the Lord, that you want to honor God, the God that loves you and saves you. It might mean you're going to walk away at times, but be strong in temptation. And remember that God always goes with us. He is right there. Carry that truth as you carry God with you. He's not distant. He's not just checking in on us from afar. He's always with us. We always have the right God who is right there with us. Let's pray that way. God, I thank you for today. God, I thank you that in the midst of temptation or in the midst of struggle or whatever we're going on in our lives, God, that you are right there with us, that you don't leave us. And God, not only do you not leave us, God, but you're there showing us favor and blessing. I pray, God, that whatever's going on in any of our lives, that we would see how you have blessed us. We would take that to heart. Let that be the reminder that you're with us. But then, God, the reminder that we can bless others because of you, and that you will bless others through us. And I pray we would look for ways to do that. God, I pray that we would all come to you for strength in the face of temptation, to stand strong, whether that's by standing there or walking away, but that we would look to you for that strength. And then, God, to just carry you with us wherever we go, whatever the situations arise, God, that we would know you're right there with us. And we thank you that you are. In your name.